Hello, this is Kendra Brodeen, CEO and founder of Women Lawyers Online, and today I am so thrilled to bring you a conversation with Kathleen Bilderbach. Kathleen graduated from St. Louis University with degrees in accounting and theater. She received her law degree and LLM in taxation from the Washington University School of Law in St. Louis, and she's the recipient of the Gary I. Boren Memorial Award for attaining the highest overall GPA in the LLM program. Kathleen specializes in estate, business, and executive benefits planning and estate and executive compensation planning with life insurance. Formerly, she was a member of the Advanced Markets Group of MetLife, where she provided training and advanced underwriting support for the top producers of MetLife and its subsidiaries. Prior to joining Genamerica Financial, which is a MetLife company, in 1996, she was in private practice with a firm in St. Louis County, concentrating in estate planning, administration, corporate law, and corporate litigation. She's a member of the Missouri and Illinois Bars, as well as an active member of the American Bar Association and the Bar Association of Metropolitan St. Louis. She is a nationally recognized speaker and author and adjunct professor in the LLM program at Washington University School of Law. She's a founding member of Affinity Law Group, LLC, a firm dedicated to providing legal services to businesses, their owners, and executives at every stage of their life cycles. She's a member of the Business Insurance and Estate Planning and Regulatory Reform Committees of the Association of Advanced Life Underwriting, the AALU, and a registered financial advisor for the National Football League Players Association. She's a past volunteer legal chair for the Junior League of St. Louis and currently sits on its board of directors of the St. Louis Charitable Foundation, the St. Louis Children's Hospital Legacy Advisors, the Society of Financial Service Professionals, the St. Louis Chapter, the St. Louis University Bequest and Gift Council. She was recently named one of Missouri Lawyers Weekly's up-and-coming lawyers and received the accredited estate planner designation from the National Association of Estate Planners and Councils. So with that, Kathleen, I'm so delighted to have you on the call today.
Kendra, thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Wonderful. I'm so excited to talk with you. So why don't we jump right in to the questions for the interview and get to know you and your background a little bit better, as well as what you've learned about work-life balance. And so the first question I'd like to ask you is, as you look back on your life and your educational and your professional careers, I'm wondering if you would say that you've always been good at juggling work and life or even school and life, or if it's something that came a bit to a head maybe at a critical point in your life where you thought, I'm just not juggling this or balancing this in the way that I really want to or in a way that makes it feel like I am aligning the two parts of my life, the personal and the professional. So I'm wondering if you'd say you were always adept at doing the dance between personal and professional, or if there came a point in your life where you made a decision to do something different.
Kendra, believe it or not, there is a moment that I can identify when I decided that I needed to change my work-life balance. When I was a young attorney, or even before that, when I was in school, I was very dedicated to my work. And my boyfriend, who later became my husband, I married him the week after I graduated from law school, is also an attorney. He graduated a year behind me. And when we were young attorneys, we both spent a tremendous amount of time working. Generally, you know, our schedules followed a very systematic pattern every day. We'd get up. I'm sort of an early bird. I would get into the office, let's say 7:30. We'd both work until, let's say, 7:30. We'd leave. We'd meet at the gym. We'd have dinner. We'd go home, go to bed, do the whole thing over the next day. And this continued pretty well as a pattern, even as I had my first child back in 2001. And gradually, as I became more successful at work, I took on more and more responsibilities. And by the time I had my second child in 2003, I essentially had a national job where I was traveling around the country. I was reporting in to the East Coast, so I was traveling frequently up to the East Coast. It seemed like I was always on planes. My kids were in daycare. My husband's practice was really starting to gear up, so it was requiring a lot more of his time. And I remember in 2005, I was riding to the airport down in Florida. I believe it was Tampa, and I was in the back of the car, and I was sick again with about my fifth bronchitis of the year, and I was talking to my kid's daycare, and I hung up the phone, and I just started crying, actually, and I thought, I just can't do this anymore. I can't make work first. I have to really realign my priorities and figure out a way to balance everything that's meaningful for me. That was a very difficult moment for me because I really enjoyed what I did. I really enjoyed the people that I work with. I felt like I'd spent, you know, almost 10 years getting to a place where I felt very successful in my career. On the other hand, I felt that my responsibilities as a wife and a mother were lacking. And I felt that, you know, I wasn't really getting the kind of satisfaction out of my life as a wife and a mother that I really needed for myself. So that's when I decided to leave the big company, leave the national job, and go back into private practice and essentially start from scratch. And so that's when I left and went back into private practice.
Wow, you did have a moment. It feels like that it wasn't even a week or two. It was a defining moment right there in that car when you decided to make a change.
Definitely.
Wow. So, Kathleen, I'm wondering then, at that time when you were coming up against all of the challenges of trying to do the tuggle, that's a combination of challenge and struggle, trying to do the balance, I'm wondering what your challenge and struggle, you talked about with the kids and your physical health was being challenged by all this work and this intensity and travel, and your career was taking off, but you weren't feeling like you were really being there for the family in the way that you wanted to be. Would there be one challenge or struggle that you could name that seems to rise above the others as the biggest in terms of trying to create the balance or trying to create the alignment between who you were professionally and who you were professionally and personally?
Trying to figure out ways to become more flexible, I think, and to make my schedule more flexible. I think that's an ongoing challenge. I am lucky in that I am in the estate planning area and tax. I don't do any tax compliance, so I don't have a, quote, busy season. But with estate planning and tax and executive benefits, I can be a lot more flexible in terms of when I'm going to do my work and still meet client deadlines. But there is sort of this ongoing, you know, when you have two small children, my children are now 8 and 6. When you have two small children, there's constantly things being thrown into the mix that are sort of unexpected. And it's a challenge to me to constantly have to figure out ways to be flexible, to say, okay, I'm going to commit to doing this party at my children's school. Therefore, I have to take some other time to make sure that this client gets their estate plan by their deadline. And being flexible for me actually is sort of challenging anyway. I'm a sort of a scheduled rules person. So I think that this challenge has made me grow a lot as a person. So
I think especially when we are a scheduled person or really like to have everything in place and planned and know exactly what's going on when, to try to incorporate some of that flexibility into our lives can be that challenge. And yet when we can do it, it does make everything so much easier, but it's a bit counterintuitive to those of us, myself very much included, who are planners and really like to feel like we've got all our ducks in a row and we know exactly what to expect all the time, and to be flexible in the face of life throwing curveballs at us can be a real challenge.
Definitely.
Kathleen, on the flip side of that, I'm wondering if there is a lesson or a teaching or something that's really been important to you on your journey, in your personal history, in your professional history, that has maybe changed the way you've thought about things or helped you to see things in a different way in order to create balance. What would you say that overarching lesson has been?
Well, again, I can sort of tell you the overarching lesson with the story, and it builds on what I was talking about with flexibility. My mother actually is a retired physician, and she was much older when she had me. She was the fifth woman ever to graduate from her medical school.
Wow.
And had a very distinguished career prior to having children. So she happened to be home with me one day when I was on maternity leave with my first child, and I was, again, trying to get, you know, work done actually while I was at home, and, you know, I couldn't figure out, you know, why the baby was so upset, and I was going to feed him in a little bit, and, you know, he was crying, and my mom looked at me suddenly, and she said, you know, you're going to be a lot happier going forward if you adjust to his schedule rather than him adjusting to yours. And that's when I knew that I was not the first person in the room anymore, that I was going to have to change the way that my outlook and the way that I approached my work, and still not sacrifice quality. So that was sort of, for me, another watershed moment. I mean, it's so simple when you think about it. When you're made to think about it.
Right, exactly. But it's true that sometimes we have to remember that we're not the ones in control anymore, especially when it comes to kids. We're definitely not. And that reminder of adjusting to them and allowing that flexibility, as you said, going back to what your challenge has been as well, to be flexible in those moments rather than expecting others, especially children, to be flexible around us. That's some really wise words from your mom, who had been through it, it sounds like.
Yes, she had.
Kathleen, what would you say then, if that's sort of the overarching lesson, you know, the flexibility and being willing and open to doing things maybe in a different way based on what others need from us, what would you say would be maybe two or three strategies or tips or tools, things that you've done maybe practically or things that might be more tactical in terms of creating balance? Are there things that just seem to, that worked for you and your family that you could share with the women attorneys who are listening or reading these words?
Sure, Kendra. I guess the first one is don't be tied to artificial time constraints. In other words, you know, most people expect that their work day is going to be the most busy between, let's say, 8 and 6. I get up every day at 5 o'clock, most weekdays, not on the weekends, but most weekdays I get up at 5 a.m. And I get in a good 2 hours worth of work before I drive the kids to school. And that time to me is invaluable because nobody's awake yet, the house is quiet, I can really concentrate, I get organized for the day, I return email. Sometimes I may be working on files and actually producing, you know, billing. But those 2 hours during the day are absolutely essential to me. Whereas later on in the afternoon, you know, I may have other things that come up that are going to take me away from my work. So I am really not, and of course I have the flexibility to do that because I'm not in litigation or some other areas of the law which are, you know, sort of more constrained in terms of time. But, you know, just finding those hours when I can really concentrate and put in the time and make sure that things are getting done in the manner that they need to be done. The second thing I would say is if you have needs on the work balance spectrum, don't let anybody intimidate you. I have worked with a number of bosses over the years who, you know, when you ask for time or you ask for flexibility, even if they give it to you, they sort of give it grudgingly and attempt to make you feel guilty or somehow that you are less committed to your job because you're asking for that flexibility. Don't back down, because the first time that you back down, that's going to be an in for them to think that they're going to be able to make you back down every single time. Now, the flip side of that is don't play that card and not live up to your obligations at work. Because if you play the flexibility card and you're asking your firm or your partners or your boss to make allowances for you on the life side, you have to in turn make sure that you're making allowances on the work side to make sure that everything gets done in a high quality way in a timely manner. So every so often I have had attorneys reporting to me who have sort of hidden behind the work-life balance to try and slack, I guess would be a good term. Mm-hmm. And maybe they don't do it intentionally, or maybe they do. But if you do that, it's going to make it not only harder for you to get the kind of balance that you need, but it's also going to make it harder for the next person who comes along. So, you know, make sure that you don't back down when you tell people that you need, you know, you need some time at home or time for your personal life. But on the flip side of that, don't neglect your work. So I think those are my top two.
I'm just writing them down because I think they're really powerful and sort of two sides of the same coin. Like you said, not backing down and being an advocate for yourself and what you need in terms of your work and your life and the requests that you're making. Of course, making sure they're fair to the firm or whoever you're asking that of. But with that in mind, being strong in what you're saying and not backing down, and at the same time, not using that as sort of a trump card that you think you can play in order to allow yourself maybe to not provide the best service to your clients or to provide what you need to do for the firm, like you said, to slack a little bit in the name of work-life balance when really you're not up to snuff and you're hiding behind work-life balance. It's not a get-out-of-jail-free card to say that I need this time. You need to make it up somewhere and really fulfill your commitments to your clients and figure out a way to do that. And like you said, for you, and maybe it means getting up a little earlier or staying up a little bit late. It's the flexibility that you gain, and that's great. It doesn't mean that you get to neglect your commitments and your responsibilities. It just means that maybe you have flexibility around when you complete those tasks.
Exactly. And the other thing I started doing, Kendra, that has been very meaningful to me is once a year I take a retreat by myself. I travel. My kids are a little bit older now, of course, and a lot more self-sufficient. And my husband does travel a lot. He's a partner in a different law firm. And as part of his job, he does travel frequently. And so we decided that once a year I will take a vacation by myself. Mm-hmm. And part of what I do on that, you know, vacation is plan out, think about my balance, think about what my objectives are for the next, let's say, 90 days and the next year in terms of both at work and at home, things that I need follow-up on, new ideas that I may have. I am certainly not afraid to be by myself, and I find that some of my more creative ideas come to me when I'm by myself. So that really worked out well for me. Now, I understand that's not going to work for everybody where you can go away for a whole weekend and, you know, sort of be on your own. But even if it's just a day or a few hours where you can really just think and tune out and be creative and think about what you want for on the professional side and on the home front and really set your priorities, I think that's very, very important. And it's too easy to get caught up in the needs of other people, both at work and at home, and not think about what you want or what your personal objectives are. So I find that to be very, very refreshing. I come back very re-energized from that, and I feel like it makes me a better wife and a better mother and a better partner and a better attorney. So whatever works for you.
That's right. And I think, like you said, when we take that time away to fill our own cup, to really fill ourselves back up, be that with visioning about what we want the next year to look like or what we want to improve in our own lives, or just taking some time to not have to worry about the family, to take a walk when we want to take a walk, to maybe get a spa service, or to read a book, or whatever it is, just to take a deep breath and be ourselves and be by ourselves, it can make a big difference. And to have that time, like you said, to be very creative and think outside the box. And sometimes it even takes a change in geography and physical surroundings to do that, that you can't think those sort of out-of-the-box ideas or get really creative when you're sitting at the same old desk or sitting in the same old chair. You might need to go on a vacation or get away or somehow shift where you are physically to shift where you are mentally.
Definitely.
And you said you usually take, is it a weekend that you normally take then?
I normally take a weekend, leave on Friday after I leave the office and come back Sunday, and it's been, some of these trips have been extremely simple and some of them have been, you know, a little bit more complex, but the most important thing is I'm on my own schedule by myself.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And no kids saying, but I want to go play at the water park, or husbands saying, you know, fighting over where to go to dinner. It's just you taking care of you and taking care of what you want to take care of, and maybe having a little bit of an agenda for yourself in terms of thinking about that coming year. And as you said, it might be, and I don't know, maybe sometimes it means getting on a plane and going someplace that you wanted to go, or staying someplace interesting or exotic. Maybe it just means going somewhere local. I know I'm in Minnesota. We have some just out in the country places run. I've gone there by myself, just retreat centers. Some of them are run by nuns or folks, and you can just go and have a cabin to yourself for the weekend. And it, you know, maybe costs $60-$70, and you're just by yourself in the middle of nature, and it's quiet, and it's a place to get away, and it's simple, it's drivable, but it's just the time and being out of the norm that makes the difference.
I'm strategic planning for one.
That's right. That's right. But it's something we neglect in our daily lives, I think, to do that big vision thinking. And sometimes it takes a couple days. And when do we have a couple days of just quiet and alone to do it? So it sounds like it's been very meaningful to you as a practice you've incorporated into your life, and that your family has come to respect that.
It has. It has. And my husband understands how important that is to me. And I think, you know, the reaction that I have when I come back, I think he thinks that makes it worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. Kathleen, as we're wrapping up our time together, I'm wondering if there's anything else that you would say to another woman lawyer who is trying to figure out how to balance having a family, having a spouse and partner, and yet having a very thriving and meaningful legal practice. What other words of advice would you offer to her?
My most important words, I guess, are don't give up. You'll find the right way. If you keep trying, you'll find the way that works for you. But don't throw in the towel. You've worked too hard to get where you are.
Mm-hmm. That's so true, that we've kind of gone through a lot to even be in the practice that we're in. And it is possible. I mean, women can look at other women like you and say, look, she's got 2 children, she's got a husband, and yet she's got this great legal practice. There are ways to do this. It's not an impossible thing. Sometimes it can feel impossible, and it can take some hard choices, like you described early on in our conversation when you said, I needed to change a lot of things, including the way I did practice law and who I practiced law with and what that even looked like. So it's not always easy, but it's possible.
As long as you're open, you need to be open to change and to remember everything is only temporary. Mm-hmm. Even when it seems like something is an insurmountable obstacle, it's temporary. And sometimes you need to make changes that are temporary. Sometimes the changes have to be more permanent. But as long as you're flexible and keep trying to make it all work, it will work.
And like you said, sometimes you just have to keep trying some different options. Maybe you'll try an option that doesn't work so well, and you could just admit to yourself, yep, that didn't work so well. I need to try something else. You know, but then eventually if you do just keep trying, you might stumble upon a practice or a way of doing something that does work and works really well. And as you said, sometimes the changes are temporary, and that's sort of a short-term pain for a long-term gain, be that, you know, maybe reorganizing the way you do something or putting some systems in place in your legal practice or in your home that are awkward and cumbersome at first, but in the long term save you time and make you more efficient. Or maybe it's a big long-term change, like switching firms or starting your own practice or something like that in order to achieve the balance you're seeking. But if you just keep trying until you stumble upon the right option, it sounds like you're saying that just keep going and don't give up.
That's right, Kendra. That's a great summary.
Great. Well, Kathleen, before we wrap up and close out the interview, I'd love to give you the chance to share your maybe your firm website or other ways that folks could get to know you better or maybe be in touch with you in the future.
Kendra, our website is www.affinity.com. You'll find information there about our firm and about me as well.
Excellent. So, that, again, that's Affinity Law Group, which is affinitylawgrp.com. And like Kathleen said, you can find out more information about her there and about her firm. So, Kathleen, thank you so much for taking the time today to share this information with me and with all of the women who will be listening or reading these words and for offering so much of yourself. Thank you so much.
Kendra, thanks for having me, and have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Well, with that, we'll wrap up this conversation with Kathleen. I'm so grateful to her for being here and also grateful to anyone who's listening to or reading these words, encountering them in any way. I hope you found something in Kathleen's story that touched your heart and also gave you some tips and tools that you can take away to implement in your life and in your legal practice to help you experience the best of both. So until next time, this is Kendra Brodine of WomenLawyersOnline.com wishing you real success always and in all ways. Bye-bye.